Good morning. Welcome to the Highlands. I'm Aaron Sorensen. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks for joining us. Happy Father's Day. If you're a father, why don't you take a stand up so we can recognize you? Let's give a round of applause for our dads. Happy Father's Day to you guys. We don't have a gift for all of you, but we do have the gift of opportunity, and that is you have the opportunity to put your name on a sheet of paper, and maybe you'll get something. You'll see the gifts out there. But we do wish each and every father here a happy Father's Day, and thank you for joining us. We're going to take a pause on the series that we've been in for the spring and summer here, which is called Who is the Church? Looking at who is the church? What is the church? What does the Bible say about the church? And for Father's Day, we're just going to press pause on that and do just kind of a one-off sermon. And it's based on, a while back, I was reading a devotional from a pastor, Pastor John Tyson, that it just really sort of stuck. It was on a text I'd read before, and I'd never really thought of it that way. I'd never gone, I guess, deep enough into the text to really see what was there, which is something that's amazing about the Bible, is you can read something over and over again, and all of a sudden, your eyes are opened to something you didn't see before. Even the text, like the one today, where it just looks like details, like names of people and families and details about travel plans, there's often something very rich that God is saying through that, and we'll see that together today. But if there was a title to the sermon, it would be something like Refusing to Settle. And this is a message that I think kind of functions as a charge. It's a charge to the troops. You know, the language that we don't often use, and maybe if we're honest, we can be a little uncomfortable with, when it comes to being a Christian and living life in the time that God's given us, we are in a war. And it's not always language we use, and it might not be language we're comfortable with, but the Bible uses it all the time. The Bible's like, you're in a war. You're in a battle every single day. And you got to see that. And there's times in the battle where the troops have to be charged. And this would, I hope, function as a message to the troops to charge. And that charge would be to go all out for Jesus. Don't settle. Like, look for your settling points. Look for your halfway points. Look for kind of the areas in your life that you've gotten comfortable with. And this isn't like, look, I'm not talking about your job here or those sorts of details. I'm talking about your faith. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about the journey of being his disciple and all that God has for you. And so this is a message that as a charge, I might end up saying a lot to guys, but ladies, it is for you, just because of the occasion of the day. Ladies, it is for you too. But I want to invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind, maybe you have just found yourself in a season of life where you might go, okay, this is it. Like, and maybe you're bored. Maybe you're found yourself in a part of your season of life where you're just sort of going, is this it? Or maybe you had a dream at one point in your life and you had a vision for your life. What you thought it was going to be like. God put something on your heart. You sensed a call from God. And maybe like you started off strong and you were moving toward that. But then certain things happened, certain circumstances, busyness of life, all the details like of life. Maybe got in the way and stalled you out. I want to invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to maybe show you, open your heart to those places where maybe you've settled. And settled for far less than what God wants for you. Thomas Merton once said, the biggest human temptation is to settle for too little. Why can it be a temptation? Well, because I think the temptation is to just be comfortable, to get comfortable. We settle for too little because to seek the greater things, it might come at a heavier cost. It might hurt. Somewhere along the line, things get turned upside down and we question if it's worth it. And so it's tempting to live a life where we're more comfortable, more safe, but in doing so, we sacrifice and the greater things that God might have for us. And we end up settling for too little. And I would find it hard to believe that there's any single person in this room who desires to live a life settling, like just living okay life, or settling for too little, wondering like what could have been. And I just don't think that that's the life that God wants for us. I don't think it's the life that Jesus died to give us. Halfway, moderate, middle of the road. I think Jesus died. God wants us to live an abundant life, full of his provisions and blessings and guidance, full of adventure and joy and risk. And yes, along the way, there will be difficulties, and along the way, there will be suffering, and along the way, we will be tested to stop and settle or keep going. So this is a sermon I hope will help call those of us who are here where maybe we've stopped and settled. I'm a guy, I'm good at maybe starting stuff. I get into stuff. I laugh because I think my wife would agree with this. Like I'll get really amped up about something and I'll go all out on something for a little bit. And then it just seems as time goes on, it sort of fizzles and I look for the next thing. I'm good at starting stuff, but not always finishing stuff. Here's the problem with that, is we miss out on the full abundance that comes with finishing whatever we've set out to do. I remember once saying, I'm gonna do this 90-day workout plan, and boy, the promises of change and transformation that come with that program. I made it like 42 days, halfway about. Turns out you don't yield the same results when you only go halfway. And it's just true in a lot of areas of life. I mean, think about this building for a second. If we had only built half of it, there was half of it was somewhat constructed, some of it was inside, some of it was outside. I mean, the unfinished parts would practically be unusable space. We would miss out because of the unfinished nature of the project, of the building. We're gonna miss out on the full blessings and opportunity that the fullness and the completion of this building presents. And so when we stall, when we give up, when we settle for less, we will miss out on the fullness of God and what he has for our life, his guidance and his blessings. And we're gonna look at a story in the book of Genesis, which I think highlights the danger of settling for less and what can happen and what we can miss when we only go halfway, when we settle for less. This is a story of a family. And it's a story of a family who's called out to live different, be different, and leave and go be a part of a new adventure that God had for them. And it's the story of a man you've maybe heard of, Abraham, who we identify in the faith as the father of the faith. God makes a covenant, a promise with Abraham that he would have a large family, his family would be blessed, his family would be a blessing to all the nations, that family would become a nation. And I mean, you look at the countless lives that it's touched, including ours. But before Abraham became Abraham, he was Abram. God changed his name. And Abraham, like all of us, had a father. And in Genesis 11, it makes mention of his dad, Abraham's dad. And what on the surface looks like just details about this family and then their travel plans, below the surface, I think is a warning of going halfway, of settling for less. Because it seems, when you read the text, that this call that God put on this family to move from one city to the next, to move from one area to the next, to a place called Canaan, it seems, you know, if you read the story of Abraham in Genesis 12, that's where he is and that's where he gets the promise. But it seems as if that came maybe earlier, the call to go to Canaan, to his father. Listen to the text. This is Genesis 11, 27 through 32. It says this. This is the account of Terah's family line. So we start with this man named Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, who would become Abraham. God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. So Terah is Abraham's father. Nahor and Haran, those are his other siblings. And Haran became the father of Lot. So Lot was the grandson of Terah. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans. So this is the city, this is the area that they live in, this city, this area called Ur. And just to give you some context to the city, super pagan city. Like idolatry, worshiping false gods. Like the people were not worshiping, following Yahweh, the one true God, the God of the Bible. And in fact, if you read in the book of Joshua, it makes mention of Terah, the father of Abraham, and Abraham. And they say, like, when they lived there, they participated. They worshiped false idols. And whenever we hear that, we always think, oh, that's okay, that happened, and people did that way back then, and that's weird, and I would never worship an idol. But really what they were doing is what we get caught in doing all the time. And that is we give our hearts, our affections, our motivations to anything but God. And that is idolatry. You look at something for your happiness that isn't God, and you essentially bow and worship that thing. You look for something for meaning and fulfillment that isn't God, something of this world that isn't God, and you put that in front of God. That's bowing a knee and worshiping an idol. And so just because you're not bowing to a piece of wood or stone or precious metal doesn't mean all of us aren't guilty of idolatry. It's pervasive. And here you have Terah and Abraham, his family. They're going with the flow of culture in the world. Everyone else is worshiping this. Everyone else lives this way. Everyone else is doing this. And they're just doing the same thing. They don't stand out. They don't stand apart. But then God calls them out. And that is the invitation that all of us have been offered in and through Jesus Christ. When he said, come follow me, which he said to his disciples, he said to every human since then, including you and I, it is to come stand, you know, be set apart. Get out of the stream of kind of the world and the messaging of the world and get into the stream of discipleship of living a life following Jesus. And it's very different. That's why you'll sometimes hear we talk about the upside down kingdom. It's so different that it's like upside down from the world. And so there's they're living in this city Ur, and in verse 29, it continues. So just to give you kind of this context, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, who would become Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Now, if you continue to read into the story, her name is changed to Sarah, and God does a miracle. She conceives, fulfills his promise. Abraham's family begins to grow, so on and so forth. Verse 31, Terah, remember this is the father, took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur, remember that's the city, pagan city where they've been worshiping, of the Chaldeans, to go to Cana. So something happened here. Something happened where they're like, we're going to get up and we're going. We're going to get out of this stream because something is moving us to Canaan. And so I think it's likely that God, you know, this is part of God's movement, God's leadership, God's calling. I'm calling you, this family, to get out of that stream of idolatry, sin, to get out of that stream of the world and how everyone else is living. I'm calling you to something different. I'm calling you to a different land, Canaan. But listen, it goes, but when they came to Haran, which is a different area, different city, they settled there. So the plan and the call was to go to all the way to Canaan, and they start to make their way toward Canaan, but they get to this city, Haran, and they stop. And they settle there. Verse 32 goes on, Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. So they settled there, they stopped, they settled there. And Terah lives out the rest of his life in a city that it seems God did not call him to. So you read this, and I've read this many times, and I've just sort of go, oh, okay, it's just part of the whole process of getting Abraham to there. But like, until I was reading this devotional, I had never seen this. That like, there's a lesson, I think, here. And you, that when you stop halfway, when you don't go all the way to the calling that God has on your life, you can just settle. And you can miss out because you just wonder what God had for Terah if he had gone to Canaan. What blessings he missed out on because he didn't go to Canaan. Now, you got to give him credit. He did do something remarkable. He left the city Ur, which was pagan, the center of pagan worship, and he moves his families. But like we got to recognize his departure, it's not just a geographical change. It's not like they looked and said, you know, I just don't love the weather here, so let's move. It was a break from a culture of idolatry and sin and pagan worship and a step toward worshiping the one true God, Yahweh. But there's a sad part of the story, and that is that Terah stopped short of Canaan. He set out for Canaan, but he settled in Haran instead. And he ends up dying there, halfway to the promise, halfway to the calling. This is a narrative that you see throughout Scripture in the stories that are told of people's lives. It's a narrative we see play out in our lives. Theologians call it the pattern of partial obedience. It's a pattern that repeats itself in men and women throughout history, including ours. We say yes to some things. We obey some things in partiality. It's not that Terah's journey wasn't real or even that it wasn't good, but it was incomplete. He heard the call, but he never finished the course. And I think that there's a real danger that if we don't see it, we can fall victim to. You know, we've built, I think, kind of a Christian culture that will often not just accept, but celebrate kind of Haran-level spirituality. So when I say Haran, I'm talking about that city they settled in. And you could ask yourself, what are my Harans? What are the things I've settled for? What are the things that I'm comfortable with? Because we don't know what kept them in Haran, but there must have been something that kept them there for that long. I don't know, comfort. We don't know. The fear of the unknown. Maybe they were just tired. I mean, these are all things that will keep us from going further. But what's unfortunate is that we live now in a time, I think, within Christian culture that, again, we will not only accept, but we even will celebrate kind of partiality, Haran-level spirituality, where any movement will celebrate. And we mistake, this is what John Tyson says, we mistake movement for arrival. We applaud partial obedience as if it were full surrender. And I think Tara's story serves as a warning. Because he ends up, Ur was a nasty city, in a pagan city. But Haran was too. It was just slightly not as bad. It wasn't as bad. And so Terah, in essence, he exchanged one idolatrous city for another with just a little bit more respectability. And I think that is the real danger. Haran wasn't a place of outright failure, but of partial success. It was better than Ur, but better than isn't the same as arrived at. And this is what can so easily happen to us. We start strong, we hear a call, we have a vision for where God is leading us. We're taking steps toward that. You know, maybe it's a vision for your family. Maybe it's a vision as a spouse. Maybe it's the vision as a father. It's a vision for your life, and you sense God's call toward that, and you start strong. But then you end up at Haran, and something stalls you out. It could be fatigue. It could be suffering. It could be fear of the unknown. It could be, and I see this a lot, and I struggle with this. I'm not getting what I want fast enough. It's like, dude, why do I have to do 90 days of the workout? Why doesn't 40 just do it? And so the impatience starts to, forget it. But so what are those things that maybe stop us along the way? And it can be all those things, but one of the things I think sometimes we miss is sometimes it's moderate success. It's partiality. It's comfort. Tara's story, it exposes the sort of subtle seduction of good enough, of comfort. That's good enough. Partial obedience. Where you can live a life that can even be seen as impressive in our Harans, while Canaan remains untouched. And I think we live now in a time where, you know, I think we have so many conveniences and so many comforts available to us that we full submission, full surrender. I don't know if I can do that. I like where I'm at. I remember once meeting a church planner. And I was having coffee with him. This was years ago. And I said, what's your vision for the church that you're going to start? You know, what's like the fire God's put in your heart for that church. And let's get a look like. He goes, I just want a big, normal church. And I was like, what? What is that? This, you know, like enough people that there's enough money and I can do this for my job. I don't want to be like really weird. You know, I don't want to get into like the weird stuff. Just kind of normal. And I remember just going, that sounds so awful and boring. But there's an attraction, like a temptation to just be normal, like not stand out too much. And we look at maybe the people who are all out for Jesus, really committed, like sacrificial, and we go, man, they're kind of weird. I don't know, like something's off with them, something's wrong with them. I don't know if I think I want to be like that. I don't think I really want the spotlight to be on me like that. Listen to this Dallas Willard quote. This was convicting for me. He said, we now live in a time when consumer Christianity has become the accepted norm. An all-out engagement, I mean like all out, like I'm sold, surrendered, I'm giving everything. All-out engagement with and in Jesus' kingdom among us is regarded as somewhat overdoing it. Oh man, those people are strange. They're a little too much for me. That's a little bit, they seem to be overdoing it. One of the things that we have to recognize in our lives is where are we stopping short of radical surrender to Jesus and radical obedience to the life that Jesus has called us to? And in doing so, trading in full transformation, full adventure with Jesus, full blessings that come with following Jesus for a more safer, manageable, controlled faith. Haran is where we settle. And it's not often outright rebellion that we're after, but for a respectable faith that just doesn't cost too much, that feels just good enough, comfortable. And unfortunately, Haran is a place where many people die. They never experience the fullness of what God wants for them and what God wants to do in them. I'll never forget, in my first job in corporate world, I went out to lunch with a group of guys. I still remember this. I don't remember the guy or anything, but he was probably my age that I am now. At the time, I'm 23, single, job, you know, like living, whatever, like that season of life. And that guy was like my life probably now, I think. Like he'd been in the corporate world for a couple decades, married, kids, like da-da-da-da. And I remember having lunch and he just goes, dude, I'd do anything to trade places with you. He said, man, oh man. I go, really, why? He's like, oh, just like to be able to do whatever I want, to just like not have, I go to work, go home, it's the same thing. Like, get up, go to work, just sit in a cube all day, like, and then I go home, just take the kids to wherever they need to go to bed, I just do the same thing. I'm just hoping for the weekend, living for the weekend. Well, you get to do whatever you want, da 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 da, I just do anything. I just looking in the eyes of this guy who was just bored. And I'm like, is that the vision for my life? Is that the vision that God has for our lives? Just repetition, do the same thing. Just show up, do your thing, work for the weekend, maybe throw in some church every once in a while, but look forward to the vacations and then, you know, time off and those things. Otherwise, you just got to grind it out. And I just go, do you think Jesus died so you could live a life of just grinding it out? But so many people, like, are just sadly living a life settled, craving meaning and purpose and adventure. And that is the invitation. Here's the good news. As long as you're breathing, you can move forward. You can get back up. You can keep moving to whatever your Canaan is, whatever the calling God has on your life, whatever he has for you until your last breath. We can get up. No matter how long we've settled, the invitation is to get up and keep and move forward once again. You can resume the journey. Terror stopped, but Abraham, he got up, kept moving. He pressed on. And because of that, he becomes the father of many nations. He inherits the promises of God and experiences the blessings that God has for him. And so here's three questions for you this morning. Maybe that means revisiting a calling God put on your heart. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was decades ago. But maybe it's time to revisit that. That fire that once burned bright in your heart that is dimmed out and maybe is just now an ember. Maybe it's time to look and ask God to send a fresh wind. In the words of Jim Symbol, like a fresh wind, a fresh fire to start things back up again. And so here's the question. Where have you stopped short of the full call God gave you in your life, in your early years? Or maybe this is the question for you this morning. Identify the idols that have made you comfortable. What success, security, or approval have you settled for? Or third, evaluate your current decisions. Are they made through the lens of faith and full inheritance, or just good enough and respectability? That Dallas Willard quote one more time. We now live in a time when consumer Christianity has become the accepted norm, and all-out engagement with and in Jesus' kingdom among us is regarded as somewhat overdoing it. And I would say this, if wholehearted obedience is what it takes to deliver you from your harans, your settled points, your halfway points, I would just say overdo it. Go all in, go all out. Who cares what the world thinks? Why be like everybody else? We have been set apart. We have been called to be different, live different. And with that comes an adventure and a joy and a blessings that only come from God. So what are we missing? What's holding us back? Refuse to stop halfway. Refuse to partial obedience. Refuse to mistake respectability for true transformation. Refuse to trade a risky faith for a safe religion. Whatever our harans are, they're traps set, I think, by the enemy to keep us from the fullness that God wants for you and your life. And if you're not careful, you'll die there like Tara. Our harans are spiritual graveyards for people who started strong but settled too soon. So here's you don't have to let that be your story. You don't have to die in your haran. So here are two things as the band makes their way back up. You've got to go, what's holding me in, what is my haran? Like what is that safe, those safe things, the middle points, the middle cities, you know, like what are they? You got to identify those. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to help identify those things. Is it idols that I'm worshiping, things I'm putting before God, comfort, respectability, ego, safety, security, pride, money? I mean, it could be a lot of different things for you, but you got to ask God to go, what are my harans? What are the things that are holding me back? And then you got to go, I want to shed it. I want to give it. You got to do this in your heart and your mind. You got to identify and you go, I lay it down at the cross. Full submission requires a full letting go of all things. And that's a daily practice as a follower of Jesus. Of letting go and then walking in obedience. And then the second is, I would begin to ask the Holy Spirit every day, once you're able to shed those things holding you back, those idols, you're going to be able to hear God's voice where he's saying, hey, you, here's what I have. Here's where you're going. And that's where you can ask, where next, God? Where next? You need to have a vision. You need to have a Canaan vision for your life. And I know, like, sometimes I have seasons where I have a Canaan vision, but I get stuck in Haran. Well, for years, I had the Canaan vision for my role as the pastor of this church, and I felt it so strongly, it was a deep conviction, was to get the church into a building to create some settled, deep roots. After that, no idea. Got, you know, we sort of arrived at that Canaan. Then it was like, when I came back from Arizona, the Canaan vision was a vision and mission, like statement, learning and living the way of Jesus and our four values. And that was like a year plus of pressing in and asking God to reveal that stuff. Like when you ask God what's next, sometimes, you know, he might just go, boom, this is it. And then sometimes it might be years. It might take a long time. Now, what's next? I've been asking God that. I actually don't know. I mean, there's certain things that are always true of leading a church and being the church, yes. But like, that is currently what I'm asking. What's next? What's next, God? What's the Canaan? What's the vision? Where are you leading us? And not just as a church, but for my life. What is next? Because God's got something for you. And if you're stuck, break out. Shed whatever is holding you back. Get up once again and move toward the full calling that God has on your life. Let's stand together and let's just pray for a couple minutes here and invite the Spirit to show us this. Spirit, reveal to our hearts and minds just the settling areas of life that have taken over, that maybe it's safety and security, control, whatever, God, reveal those things to our hearts. We desire a full, meaningful life with you, Jesus, and all that comes with that. Whatever hinders and gets in the way of that, show us so we can lay it down. And then we ask, Holy Spirit, what's next? What is that calling? What's the vision you have for my life, for our life as a family? Where's the Canaan you're leading us to? Show us, Holy Spirit, so we can go, and give us what we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.